What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 24th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Opening day is on Thursday in this week, and guess what? We are going to be live streaming MLB.tv on playback.tv/PitcherList. On opening day, of course, starting right at opening day, 3 p.m., you'll see me and a lot of people from the industry throughout the entire day until, yes, 1 a.m. or whenever the last game goes. But get this, it will be every single day. Anytime baseball is on, we will be playing it at playback.tv/PitcherList. Stop watching baseball alone, everyone. Come join the Pitcherless community. Watch this baseball synced up with an amazing community, all inclusive, all people who are smart and just want to be excited about baseball just like you. Come join me watching these games. Like, why are you just watching it on your own on your screen? That's like boring. Just watch it with all of us and you can comment on it and ask any questions you want. It's just like a forever AMA. It is the best time. I'm so excited about this. We're the first ones to be able to do this. playback.tv/PitcherList. Come on by. I'll see you guys on opening day. Major news. We've talked about Shane McClanahan. As you guys know, it's an inflamed nerve. We have Ian Anderson being traded to Atlanta. From Atlanta, rather, to Los Angeles. The Angels for Jose Suarez. It could just be SP depth going back and forth, but it's possible that the Angels are going to go six-man with Ian Anderson. I don't know. We'll see. It doesn't mean that AJ Smith-Shawver is the SP5 in Atlanta. Yeah, sure, you can take a spec ad on that. He is the SP5. So it might be a little bit of a wait until we get that first start for Smith-Shawver, which means I kind of do want to go with other guys. Like Max Meyer's going to be the SP4, but he goes on Sunday. And at least you can see that one before Shawver. He's in a good situation. I don't really think the stuff itself overall is enough to make me feel as if he's worthwhile on a 12-teamer for a hold. But I hope to be surprised there. Cade Povich, yes, has the number 5 spot for the Orioles. We know this one. Not the biggest fan. I think he's kind of a Toby at best. And that's not really it. Tristan McKenzie is going to be pitching out of the bullpen. He's not in the rotation. It's Logan Allen. And I don't want Logan Allen. It does kind of mean maybe that Joey Cantillo will be in an opportunity. Could get an opportunity pretty shortly down the road. But yeah, that's pretty unfortunate considering Tristan McKenzie's velocity was going up. This is a crazy one. The Giants named Hayden Birdsong their SP5 over Landon Rupp. But here's the thing. The game happened. Landon Rupp went 5 innings, 8 Ks, and 3 walks and dominated. While Hayden Birdsong went 0.1 innings, had 2 walks, allowed multiple hits and runs, no strikeouts, and was pulled from the game. On the radio broadcast, they suggested it might be a blister. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on. But that doesn't seem like the SP5 for the Giants. They won't have to start them until Tuesday next week. So I don't know. I feel like I kind of want to chase Landon Rupp, but it's going against the Astros. They're not as good as they used to be. It's in Houston. It's up to you guys. I think that we should put the brakes on the Birdsong train, though. This is something that really would mess up a guy like this. While Landon Rupp has just been cruising in spring training, and I would take a spec ad on that one. The Mets are going to be going Tyler McGill and Griffin Canning after Clay Holmes, the Adobe, as their SP2 and 3. So that's against Houston, but that lines up David Peterson and Kodai Senga for the series against Miami. That is early next week. So that's pretty cool. That Peterson stream... Mwah, that's a lovely one. I really think that Peterson can absolutely soar against Miami, and he's barely getting touched in 12-teamers. And lastly, you have in Rockies land, Jake Woodford getting removed, and Bradley Blaylock likely as a fifth starter, but I don't really think he's been that stretched out. I don't know. All right, looking at yesterday's games, we have Aaron Nola going 5 innings and 1 run, and everything's fine for the most part, except the velocity is down like 2 ticks. But it could just be a veteran saving bullets. I'm generally out on Nola relative to his draft stock. If he's on my, you know, if he's out there, sure, he could be a Holly. Like, I see him as a discount Holly throughout the year, but not one of those guys in the top 30. And I think you guys should be drafting as such. Reese Olson, 5.1 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Slider was really good. The changeup is fine. The sinker's going away from right-handers and not inside to them, which is kind of weird. He's also at 94.8, and he was around like 94 last year. So it's not the 96 we saw earlier in spring, but it's good to see that he's still above last year's velocity. He's throwing 30% fastballs, 4-seamers, that is, to left-handers. I don't like that. He's got to stop doing that because that's a terrible pitch. Max Fried didn't look that good. He was down a bit in velocity to 1.5 ticks. We normally see Max Fried take some time to get geared up, right? Like his first 3 to 5 starts generally are far worse than what we see after. So be a little patient with Max Fried, but remember, this is standard of fare. You have Ryan Pepiot, 2 innings of 3 Ks, and everything looks pretty good here. Only 1 out of 6 strikes on cutters and sliders, but whatever. The four seamer is still really good. The changeup was getting strikes. All is good. Chris Bass is only 1 tick down. And if you remember, every year he always ramps up and he takes it easier in the spring. It's not the 2 ticks down that we saw this time last year. I think the 146 whip Chris Bassett had in 2024 is going to come further down. Oh my gosh, I can't say anything. 5.2 innings, 1 run yesterday. I think he's actually a really good 15-team play. Bailey Falter is very interesting all of a sudden. 5 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 1 strikeout. And yes, if he moved to the Rays, I'd be even more interested. Eventually, I swear it. But no, what's cool is that Bailey Falter threw sinkers yesterday that our data said half of them were like the four-seamer. I think those were actually misclassified four-seamers. Because here's the thing. It had some of these sinkers had so much ride to them. I mean, I'm talking like 20 inches of horizontal movement. And that might be really effective at 7 feet plus of extension going inside of lefties. That might all of a sudden be a better nullifier than what he currently has. He doesn't have a changeup still. And if he did, then he'd be Bailey over expectations. Okay, I'm sorry. He's just Bailey Falter now. All right. You don't want to go after Bailey Falter, but there is maybe some very deep NL-only value there in Falter. You have Griffin Canning, 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 Ks. I'm not really interested in Griffin Canning. He goes dancing with a disco with a slider, and there's a changeup in there. I don't think they're both very good. He's not really a 6-inning kind of guy. He's not an efficient pitcher. His fastball at least is going like 25% of the time, which is good. Because you don't want him to throw fastballs at all. Connor Gallipsy, 4.1 innings of 6 runs. He's going to be starting for the Marlins. That's all that matters. And he doesn't for your fantasy teams. Ryan Nelson's pitching out of the bullpen, 2.2 innings of 200 runs. The whole thing there is that I wished I saw something more exciting from Nelson as he's throwing out of the pen. So maybe it would be something extra, right? You get to throw more max effort out of the pen. Nope, not what we saw. So we forget about Ryan Nelson until he gets another chance to start. We don't go after the first time he starts. And then we see how that goes. And Bryce Miller, 5.1 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. He's still trying to figure out what his secondaries are like. He threw a lot of them against lefties, and that's cool. Just 35% fastballs to lefties, so 65% secondaries to left-handed batters as he tries to figure it out. But 0 out of 12 slider whiffs overall. Some of those were, of course, against right-handers, and 3 out of 17 splitter and curve whiffs. So it's still just not like the guy I want him to be, but maybe at some point he will be. By the way, everybody, I am going to be updating my list today. My top 100 list for the season. I'll be live streaming starting at 2 p.m. Eastern time at playback.tv/pitcher. So make sure that you tune in for that as my last update before the start of the year. And I'm starting off my every Monday of the season update of the list. So definitely stay tuned for that. And we're going to talk about Nick Lodolo, Eric Fede, and Brandon Fott, but we also got a Spencer Strider start, and we got some other things to talk about. We'll talk about all of that after this break. So Eric Fede did a thing that I want him to do, which is throw sinkers and sweepers to right-handed batters, and then cutters and changeups to lefties. That's how it should be done. Right, Eric Fede is not someone who should be throwing his four-seamer at all. We saw that increase when he was on the when traded to the Cardinals last year, and to see him throw this better mix might actually mean that Eric Fede is a solid Toby type throughout the year for your 15-teamers. I've been completely neglecting him. I just didn't really want to deal with it, but it could actually work if he is going sinker sweeper to right-handed batters and cutter changeup to lefties. Just throwing that out there. I know I haven't given him at any love whatsoever, but okay, fine. I'll acknowledge this one. Nick Lodolo, I got in my Tout Wars draft for $1 because I thought that other people would be bidding a lot higher on it, and I'm fine with having Nick Lodolo. It's weird because I know how volatile he is, and he's typically not the kind of guys that I want to go for. But this was 6 innings, 1 and run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks, which is the good side, of course, of Nick Lodolo. And the curve worked. It was 9 over 23 whiffs. We saw 52% usage against lefties, which is what we want because that is the nullifier against them. And the fastball was 93-94 with some good changeups, 3 over 9 whiffs against right-handers. Lodolo has been someone who's never gotten that opportunity to really have the runway of health. But we might be seeing it right now. So I might be more in on Lodolo than I have been before, just because, right, you have not gotten this before. You just had a healthy spring. You're looking like your best right out of camp. This might be the Lodolo breakout moment, if there ever is going to be one, because health is finally on his side. And watch, of course, something's going to happen now that I said that, and I'm so sorry. Brandon Pfaadt, guess what? I'm still not in on you. 3.2 innings of 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 1 strikeout. We saw 37% sinkers to right-handers. I'm a fan of that. I think that's a good idea. But the left-handed approach, yeah, still bad. Still nothing for us to get excited about. He tried to throw more curves this time, and he went 0 for 10 whiffs on that with just 50% strikes. It's just not the guy you want. He does not have an approach against left-handers, and I'm out. Now, we also have Joe Ryan, 4.2 innings. This is without any data, okay, moving forward. So 4.2 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks for Joe Ryan. I guess it's all fine. You know, that's all we can really say. I imagine so. Spencer Strider, 1.1 innings of 2 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Not as polished, of course, as we want, but 4 strikeouts and 4 outs. I mean, he has a lot of strikeouts so far. Get excited about Spencer Strider, obviously. Ian Anderson, his last game for Atlanta, 3 innings of 0 runs. Nice, good luck on the West Coast. And Charlie Morton and Dean Kramer went for Baltimore. Now, Charlie Morton went 2 innings of 3 runs. I think that he's a desperate 15-team Toby. If you're chasing wins, then you might get some of those, but it's very 50-50. While Dean Kramer is what I call a werewolf, he'll have that one amazing game once a month, maybe 2 of them. And he went 5.1 innings of 2 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. He is the ultimate cherry bomb streamer, right? Cherry bomb has now been redefined as a term for a guy that is on your team and you hold on to them, who is volatile. But this is really just like he's going to blow up in your face or be super sweet off the waiver wire. And like, yeah, if you have a desperate Sunday, Dean Kramer could be that guy. But I do not believe you should have him on your roster because I think he's going to be more harmful than helpful. Jose Soriano, 5.1 innings of 1 run, 6 base runners, 2 Ks, sure. I'm not seeing anything interesting from Jose Soriano that makes me feel like he's anything new this year. So I'm not really touching him. We have Trevor Williams, never Trevor. You have Spencer Arrighetti, 4.2 innings with 4 walks. And I've been saying this entire spring, I've not really seen that outing that makes me excited for the Pasta Pirate this year. We've seen depressed velocity. We've seen a lot of walks, more inability to get the strikes that he needs that we saw in the second half last year. And it has me just moving away from him. And I'm finding myself favoring guys like Max Meyer, Richard Fitz, Dustin May, Jackson Jobe, Ryan Pepiot, of course, both of the Holmeses. So Clay Holmes and Grant Holmes, Drew Rasmussen. All of those pitchers are kind of going around the same place that Arrighetti is. And I think that you're going to either make a quicker decision on the names I just mentioned or actually just like them more than Arrighetti. That said, Arrighetti could just come out guns a-blazing and be amazing, and that's cool too. I still want him on my teams and see how this goes. But I feel like we are going to be dealing with a hipster that is a headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster this season. Matthew Boyd went 5.2 innings of 3 runs, and that's just 1 out away from being a very poor quality start. And let's be honest, Matthew Boyd is a phenomenal quality start option for your deeper leagues. He should not be ignored for those leagues. I've certainly picked him up in my Guillotine League, inside of my CBS Points leagues. I think that Matthew Boyd is going to be like a strikeout in an inning and hitting at a quality start every time he goes out. So I'm a fan there. Osvaldo Beto still has the rotation spot, and it's 4 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. Hey, no walks. That's all we want from Beto. You have these really good pitches. The slider is great. The four-seamer and sinker move really well, but you can't throw strikes to them a lot. But you did hear, so that's cool. Mitch Spence went two innings out of the bullpen, so I guess it is Estes, and that just drives me nuts. So we move on from Mitch Spence. Jason Lander pitched because even though he's demoted to the minors, he can still pitch in spring training. 3.1 innings of 5 runs. When he does come up, remember, Coors is undefeated. I don't think DeLander is going to win this. I'm not going to be adding Chase DeLander in all likelihood in my 12 teamers this year. And as I mentioned before, Landon Raup went 5 innings, 1 run, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 8 Ks, while Hayden Birdsong went 0.1 innings, 3 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 0 strikeouts. I'm worried about Birdsong. I think you should be going after Raup, even though Birdsong got the position. And I'm doing air quotes if you can watch me on stream right now. Because, yeah, I feel like Raup is going to get it because of this possible blister that Birdsong has. But it's a week away. And I don't feel like you need to get Raup now because you got other options first. And I don't think everyone's running to the wire to get Landon Raup. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. If you're trying to find that extra information right before your drafts, I heavily recommend joining our PL Plus Discord. It's for PL Plus and PL Pro members. You also get an ad-free website for signing up. It's as low as $60 for the entire year, so $5 a month with PL Plus yearly. Or you can get PL Pro and get all of our advanced tools, our live draft assistant, our daily and weekly projections, in season, our expected schedules, our My Daily Sit and Start grid for 10 days in advance. All of this fun stuff you can get with PL Pro, and of course Process Pro Plus rolling charts, our fantasy manager that we're releasing in season this year in our beta. So much stuff. You can get 15% off PL Pro yearly with promo code podcast in all caps. So go to pitchwells.com/premium, sign up today, podcast in all caps for 15% off PL Pro yearly. All right, that is it. Thank you all so much. I'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the list later today. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.